Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I'm Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. We have a lady on the show right now who was on in the past and kind of slipped under my radar. Huge, huge mistake on my part. But I'm chatting with her right now, and I've asked her to talk about a couple of subjects that she is very well versed on in the first two segments of this program. These are topics that are very, very germane to investing. Woman's name is Ellen Brown. Ellen is an attorney, and she's also the president of an organization called the Public Banking Institute. Ellen, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
By the way, I also want to say that Ellen has written a number of books, 11 specifically. I'm looking at a copy that's sitting on my shelf, autograph copy, thank you very much, of probably her best-selling book, which is called Web of Debt, and I highly would recommend that one to everybody. Now, Ellen, your latest missive is entitled Inviting Chaos, The Perils of Toying with the Debt Ceiling. And I spent some time going over this, and I found it to be very interesting for one specific reason. And that reason is the majority of the conservatives in this country are absolutely deaf on the size of our deficit, and there is serious talk. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but there is serious talk about not raising the debt ceiling. Okay. In your article, you very, very effectively point out that debt is perhaps not the evil that a lot of people think it is. Can you elaborate?
Well, the evil would be to actually impose a debt or not lift the debt ceiling. But the reason debt itself is not an evil is that ever since we went off the gold standard in 1933 domestically and 1971 internationally, nothing backs the dollar except the full faith and credit of the United States. In other words, the debt of the government. What we have today is not a money that you dig out of the ground. It's a form of money that is an exchange. It's a debit and credit. So if you're going to have money out there, if you're going to have credits out there, which is our money, somebody has to go into debt. You have to have debits, and that is the government. So actually, government debt is a good thing. The government debt is our money supply. And you could see that historically, that when we've had the largest debt to GDP was during World War II, and that was also the most productive period in our history, or one of the most. Another very productive period was when we, right after we went off the gold standard, and for the next 4 years until Roosevelt listened to the deficit hawks and actually cut the deficit. But for the 4 years where he just went into debt in order to fund stimulus that would get the country back on its feet, put people to work, that we had more growth in those 4 years than any other time. I think it was like 12% a year or 14%.
I find that to be very interesting, and I know that a lot of our listeners, I'm not sure that I go so far as to say most of our listeners, but I know a very large portion of our listeners would not agree with what you're saying. Now, I have to say that, you know, with the background that I've got in economics and with what I've been doing for basically my entire life, it's hard to fault your argument aside from one thing. And that is, I have maintained for a long time that the U.S. economy is in fact a bit of a house of cards, because our dollar is based on nothing tangible. And I think you'd agree with that. Now, what I'm interpreting your thoughts as being is that you don't need a tangible currency. But I guess my question is, when people realize that, say, the U.S. dollar, or, for example, any currency in the world today, because we don't have any asset-based currencies, but let's just stick with the United States. When people come to the conclusion that the U.S. dollar really is nothing more than an obligation of the U.S. government, don't you think that perhaps that's going to scare the daylights out of them?
Well, you just have to conceptualize what's happening here. It's really just a balance sheet. It's just the double entry bookkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
And so where somebody has to create the money in the first place, it has to come from somewhere. So what money is today is basically a receipt from the government. So, I mean, somebody has to give out the receipts, and you've got to authorize. I mean, you can't have private people giving out their own receipts. You used to have that.
Right.
They were called banknotes.
Mm-hmm.
But now the government gives a receipt acknowledging goods and services have been delivered to the government, and that's called paying money.
Mm-hmm.
So the government pays out this money, and it draws the money. Let's say it's a pure system, and it takes it out of the Federal Reserve. So it draws the dollars out of the Federal Reserve, and now it's got a debit in its account with
mm-hmm.
the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
But the debit can be carried indefinitely, and it has been carried ever since 1835. Not only have we carried it, but it's gone up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still, for all that, whatever you want to say about the United States, we're still pretty much the most powerful country in the world, and we still have the global reserve currency. I mean, it certainly worked. And the best example of how what they're saying, the horrible things that will happen if we raise the debt ceiling won't happen, is to look at Japan. They have a debt-to-GDP ratio that of 226%. Ours
right.
is only 59%. And, in fact, during World War II, ours was 120%. But so Japan's is 226%, and they don't have this huge interest problem. They've got that figured out. So here's the solution. Here's what you do for your interest. They have borrowed directly from the Bank of Japan, which is the central bank, interest-free, because, of course, they own the bank, so they get the interest. So that is the real problem of a crippling debt, is that the interest goes up exponentially. But if you can get rid of the interest, which you can do by borrowing from your own bank, then you can increase the debt without a problem. You just keep rolling it over, or you just, I mean, if it's your own bank, you don't even call it rolling it over, I guess.
You know, again, it's a very interesting concept, and it's one that I need to get my head wrapped around, for lack of better terms. But, you know, I think it's going to bring a lot of people up in arms, in the sense that it kind of blows the theory of being on a gold standard.
Well, we're not on a gold standard, so that's the whole point. That, in fact, I quoted this article. In fact, this is what prompted me to write my article. It was by a man named Beardsley Rummel, who
mm-hmm.
was the head of the New York Federal Reserve in the 1940s. And he said that getting off the gold standard had allowed us to be economically sovereign. It was now at last that governments could be economically sovereign, and that meant that they could just issue they could issue the money they needed, or he didn't say like that, but in other words, you would draw it from your own central bank, and then you don't have to worry about inflation until, I mean, you don't have to even impose taxes until you actually have inflation. That the point of taxes was to cure inflation and not to actually pay for your debt or your budget. You're paying for your budget out of your bank account with the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
And in Japan, that's what they actually do. They have the Bank of Japan funds enough of the debt, as much of the debt as the whole GDP of the country. So if our Fed did that, the equivalent for our Fed would be $15 trillion. In other words, more than our existing debt is what Japan now funds through their central bank, interest-free. And they not only do not have inflation, as you would predict, they have deflation. They're still fighting deflation.
It is, as I said, it's a very, very interesting concept. I'm going to bring Ellen over in the next segment. She has another very, very interesting topic that I think is important. You know, I think it's important certainly for just the general level of knowledge, but it's also very, very important in my mind for investment considerations. And that is the subject of exactly why the U.S. and the U.K. and and France, etc., are so involved in Libya. Stick around. Going to chat about that next.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Second segment of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Ellen Brown with me again. You know, I would be curious. We've got a pretty active blog, as most of you folks are aware. And I'd be curious to hear your comments about Ellen's feelings regarding the need for an or the lack, I guess I should say, thereof of the need for an asset-based currency. But we dealt with that in the first segment. I want to hear what you guys have to think about that. Now, off the air, Ellen and I were talking about what's actually in her mind going on in Libya. And I find her comments to be very, very interesting. Ellen, your thoughts on Libya, why we're there?
Well, our alleged reason is for humanitarian purposes, to prevent civilian deaths. But, of course, we have caused more civilian deaths already than anyone else there. And globally, you would have to say we probably caused more civilian deaths in the last decade than anyone in history. So, and there are many other places that are equally bad and you would think bigger and more important for if, you know, if you're looking at strategic purposes. So why Libya? That's the question. What's different about Libya is that, like Saddam Hussein,
Muammar Gaddafi,
Gaddafi declined to sell dollars in the deal. The OPEC deal from 1974 was that the OPEC countries would sell their oil only in dollars, and they would put the dollars in U.S. banks.
Yep.
And that this was what backed the dollar when gold no longer did. I mean, the dollar dropped right after we went off the gold standard. And then there was a big meeting supposedly in Sweden to figure out how to get it back up, and they decided to back it with oil. And that's where the OPEC deal came from. And they artificially inflated the price by, I mean, it went up by a factor of four. So all these little countries didn't have enough oil. And so they had, and they didn't have the dollars to buy the oil, so they had to go to U.S. banks to borrow it, and that's where they first got into debt to U.S. banks. So it was the beginning of the whole debt cycle where we trapped all these third world countries into debt. So Saddam Hussein broke the deal in 2000, and started selling his oil in euros. And everybody laughed at first because the euro wasn't doing so well. But then suddenly the euro took off, and then other countries started to follow, and then he was stopped. And then in Libya, the same thing happened where Gaddafi wouldn't sell his oil in dollars, but he's insisting on selling it in gold dinar. And which would be fine, you know, if he was doing his own little thing quietly, but he's doing a lot more than that. He was organizing the African countries to all sell, try to get them all to sell in only in gold dinar, and quite a few had agreed. And he was setting up an alternative to the IMF. It was a specifically African IMF. In Libya itself, for 40 years, the government owns the central bank, and it issues the national currency, and it issues what's called state credit. So in other words, it just makes loans as needed. So when it built this huge irrigation system, which allowed it to turn this desert into rich farmland, they did it. It was the largest irrigation system in the world, and they did it completely without borrowing from anybody. They did it themselves because they had an alternative banking model, an alternative to this parasite that has captured most of the rest of the world. So he had figured out how to get out of that, and he was going to show the rest of the African countries how they too could be independent. And I've read or heard that we're actually loading that farmland with depleted uranium to make it not fertile. I mean, we're killing the farmland because that was supposed to be the new breadbasket for Africa. I mean, all those African countries have plenty of fertile land, but they don't know what to do with it. And I'm just going to show them.
Interesting comments. Now, you have traveled in you know, a number of years. You spent a number of years living abroad. You lived in Africa. You lived in South America. So, you know, this isn't all just necessarily theoretically taken from books, correct?
Well, I do know what I know I get off the internet pretty much, but Gaddafi, he's flamboyant and makes a show of being defiant.
Yeah.
But still, he did have an alternative system that needed to be suppressed, or I mean, that was actually a threat to. They're not part of the Bank for International Settlements, so they don't. The Bank for International Settlements rules say that the most important thing is to maintain a stable currency, which means you're not allowed to borrow from your own central bank. This is discouraged. I mean, it's just supposedly a guideline, but then all the rating agencies look to see whether you comply with the BIS guidelines. And if you don't, then you don't get a good rating. So basically, it's a law. You have to do it. But Libya is not in that system, so they can do whatever they want. So they did borrow from their own central bank. Now, Japan, of course, did the same thing, but Japan, they're like the Chinese. You know, they make a show of going along with the rules. They just kind of interpret them their own way.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading something really interesting. It was a woman Chinese economist who had to do with the World Trade Organization rules, and she said, well, if they want us to call them non-performing loans, we'll call them non-performing loans, but we're not going to change our practices.
Yeah.
In other words, they changed their bookkeeping practices, but they're not going to change the fact that they actually just issue the money to do what they think needs to be done.
I find that to be really interesting. Now, least all of you think that Ellen, you know, is a nutcase who should be totally disregarded. And I have to tell you, I don't believe that she is. She wouldn't be on the show if I thought that. But I posed a question to her off the air that I would like her to answer real quickly, and that is, if in fact the U.S. doesn't need a gold-based currency, why would there be any need for the argument, as Gatta points out, that the price of gold is suppressed, in effect, by the central bankers, by the government, et cetera? Real quick, can you comment on that?
Well, I think everything is heavily manipulated. They manipulate the dollar up as needed. So when the dollar is in jeopardy, then they have to suppress the price of gold because that is the preferred alternative currency. When everybody gets nervous about the dollar, they flee into gold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not because gold will be set up as an actual currency. It's an alternative investment where everybody pulls their money out of bonds and puts them into gold.
Certainly is going on right now. There's no question about that. We're seeing just an incredibly strong market, and it has been very, very strong since the early part of this decade. A lot of people are going into gold. There's no question about that. I would have to say that the suppression scheme, if it exists, probably isn't working, although there are those, my friend Bill Murphy as an example, who would say gold would be significantly higher right now if its price were not suppressed. Remains to be seen on that one. But anyway, Ellen, very, very interesting comments about Libya, kind of, you know, give some food for thought for people who kind of want to know what's going on, really, on an international level. And I really appreciate your comments in the first segment. Thank you so much.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, 3-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-45
877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
He looks 5 years younger.
He doesn't fall asleep at his desk like he used to.
He no longer drinks those energy drinks all day.
He used to be gloomy. Now he's upbeat.
He obviously has lost weight.
He's now drinking Moringa in the Morning from BigJoe.us. Moringa is a delicious, all-organic, 100% bioavailable blend from the Miracle Moringa tree, considered by many to be the most nutrient-rich plant ever discovered. Moringa in the Morning will suppress cravings for junk food and energy drinks and make you feel like a kid again. Drink Moringa in the Morning, available from BigJoe.us. That's BigJoe.us. Vibrant health is just a click or call away at BigJoe.us or 800-503-0515. 800-503-0515. That's 800-503-0515. Drink Moringa in the Morning.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, you have to admit, Ellen Brown is a very, very interesting lady, to say the least. Her article, by the way, that she was discussing in the first two segments of this particular program appeared on Saturday in the Asia Times, which I thought was kind of interesting. Gives her a certain amount of credibility. I'm not really sure how to feel about what she had to say yet. I've given it more than just a cursory amount of thought, and I'm thinking that it's an interesting concept. We're going to have a little bit of a rebuttal next week from my guest in this segment, Brian London, and possibly some other people. But Brian, you know, some very, very interesting news came out in Bloomberg yesterday. Headline was Global Economic Rebound Weakens on Quake, Oil Price, Debt Crisis. Both Goldman Sachs and UBS have cut their estimates for future global economic growth. This had a very, very interesting, for lack of better terms, implication in the gold market on Friday. Both the gold and the silver market went up substantially. I thought that was very, very interesting. That leads me to believe, as we talked about on Kitco yesterday, that perhaps the summer doldrums that normally occur in the bullion markets ain't going to be happening this year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've been one of the people arguing that we will have that kind of a seasonal slowdown this summer, particularly because of the big gains that were enjoyed by so many people over the spring. It's, you know, when May came along, as the calendar turned to May, the speculators and the traders wasted no time in closing out their positions and running for the hills. So from that standpoint, I don't know that we're going to see that kind of speculative interest in the metals, which tends to drive the very steep rallies in the metals, until sometime toward the end of the summer in the market. And that would also argue for the market bottoming at some point around midsummer. But what we're seeing right now, I believe, is that this fundamental underpinning of demand, that's been supporting the market throughout this 10, 11-year bull market, this demand that's come from Asia and been really supporting the market on all the pullbacks is really coming to the forefront now, in that we see this kind of demand wane for India because of the various wedding seasons and festivals, et cetera, that tend to slow down during the summer. But in China, we don't really have that type of seasonal-oriented physical demand. And right now we have inflation in China driving tremendous gold buying.
Mm-hmm.
And more generally, in longer term, the rise of the middle class, the huge influx of capable and really motivated buyers for gold.
Yeah.
The demand in China is just soaring, and it's not really seasonally based. It's just growing and growing and growing. And I think that's really what's driving the market right now.
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, I have felt over the years that in investing in commodities is, I mean, it's certainly a sound thing to do. But in terms of the majority of my investments in this particular sector, and this particular sector does have the majority of my investments, I've always liked the common stock of companies involved in the resource sector because of the leverage factor involved there. It's, you know, you get a 5% increase, 10% increase, for example, in the price of gold, and oftentimes you'll see a 50 to 75% increase in the price of the related securities. Now, we have gotten a number of requests from listeners who have asked us to, have asked me, I guess I should say, to discuss companies on the program that I particularly like. And one company that is a sponsor on our website that I am very, very bullish on, and I know you're an investor in it, if I'm not mistaken, is a company called International Tower Hill Mines. Now, I noticed this morning that a couple of the major Canadian brokerage firms have initiated, or have continued, I guess I should say, coverage on this particular company. BMO is now providing ongoing coverage on International Tower Hill, as is Canaccord Genuity. So, you know, these guys don't provide research on companies for any reason other than they think their clients are going to make money on them. Now, with what's going on at the Livengood property of International Tower Hill, with the new CEO of International Tower Hill, I am really optimistic about what those guys are doing. What do you think about it?
Well, I don't own the stock, to my great chagrin.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry. No.
No, but it is a long-time recommendation in Gold Newsletter.
Okay.
I don't own every stock I recommend, and vice versa. But I was one of the early analysts to recommend the stock, and it's been a huge winner for our readers.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplied, seven times over in value or so.
Oh, yeah. No, I was looking at your... at the portfolio that you have there, and I know that you recommended it down around $2, and it's somewhere around over $8 right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's recently the latest resource estimate shows about 7.5 million ounces in the measured category. When you expand that to indicated and inferred resources, and at various cutoff grades, you get somewhere from 12 to 15 million ounces,
mm-hmm.
and it's an enormous project. And one of the great successes in this cycle for exploration companies, it's also one of the leading takeover targets in the world today.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would almost put International Tower Hill in the category of a very, very serious developmental stage companies, and that's not to imply that they don't continue their exploration work, but you know, they're just developing that property to the point where I would agree it's a very, very interesting takeover target. And I know I have chatted both with Jeff Pontius and then his successor about what they plan to do, and there's talk about perhaps International Tower Hill putting this thing into production themselves.
Well, that's the key, and that's why a lot of these premier takeover targets, the International Tower Hills, the Osisko's, and Keegan Resources, a number of these companies that have made really large discoveries, the reason why they haven't been taken over yet is because they've done such a good job of developing the company. As a exploration development company, your job is to progress toward production as if you can do it on your own, which they can in these markets with freely available capital for the right projects. So by doing that, they guarantee the best price in any takeover scenario. The problem for the majors is that that means there aren't any bargains around. These companies are fully valued, and yet they continue to grow, and they grow in value. So the majors can't swoop in and pick up a bargain.
Yeah. Makes it, you know, it makes it really good for investors, and in terms of, you know, the scenario that you're talking about, taking over a company, buying out a company, what have you, that makes all the sense in the world. You know, my friend Roger Wiegand of Trader Tracks recently wrote up a company called Millrock Resources. I have absolutely no financial interest in equity in Millrock, but it does appear to be a very, very intriguing company, and I know that he's pretty serious about the companies that he writes up. Now, you also are interested in Millrock. Tell me why real quick. Got about a minute and a half here.
Yeah, it's we recommended it at much lower prices. One of the best recommendations I ever made was picking up this company at 6 cents in November of 2008 when in the middle of the great financial crisis.
Yeah.
Well-run company, huge property, extraordinarily large and prospective property portfolio in Alaska, along with some great copper prospects in Arizona. So they have year-round exploration. If you go down their list of properties, property by property, it just gets more and more exciting. And one of their projects that I'm particularly interested in, the Estelle project in Alaska, is finally getting drilled this year, and this has absolute world-class potential. The company's traded up over a dollar at some points. It's around 67 cents now. It's entering its best and greatest expiration season right now.
Yeah.
Progressing on a number of fronts. I think it's just a screaming bargain at these prices.
Okay. Interest of full disclosure, Big Al has to say neither Brian nor I are registered investment advisors. Do not, I repeat, do not construe this as being any type of advice to buy or sell a stock, because it is not. We're just talking about companies that we like, and in some cases we have an interest in them, and if we do, we disclose that. Brian, thanks so much, buddy.
Did you know that billions are spent every year just for a simple drink of water? But it's the quality of the water that Americans are concerned with, especially after floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, and other disasters that routinely disrupt and contaminate water supplies. Safe drinking water is too important to leave to chance. That's why you need an AquaRain water filtration system. The American-made AquaRain is an essential survival tool that operates for just pennies per gallon. It lets you retrieve water from lakes, ponds, streams, or rooftops during any disaster and assures you of healthy drinking water. The stainless steel AquaRain's patented space-age ceramic and GAC technology uses microfiltration and gravity to purify water. No chemicals, no electricity, no water pressure needed. And AquaRain's cartridges last for thousands of gallons. AquaRain is hands down the best water filter on the market. Call 800-572-2051 or go to aquarain.com. That's 800-572-2051 or aquarain.com. Every family needs an AquaRain.
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part, this $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
Do you worry? Worried about gas prices or rising food costs? How about the incredible shrinking grocery? Are you looking for a way to supplement your food dollars, increase your nutrition, and prepare for an uncertain future? Would you like all of this to be free? Well, do we have an answer for you? Wild Edible Food. Author Linda Runyon spent many years learning to eat off the grid and many more refining her methods. When she retired from that life, she became dedicated to passing her knowledge on to people just like you. Let Linda show you how to add nutrition, stretch your food dollar, and depend less on established food supply channels. Go to ofthefield.com and take advantage of the same materials that groups, schools, camps, and churches are using to solve some of the problems you may be worried about. Or call 1-888-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com. Or call 1-888-513-2837 and take a big step toward peace of mind.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You got to admit, Brian London is a very, very interesting guy. You know, I have to say, anybody who is either in the area or who has any plans to travel to the New Orleans area, this is a great investment conference that he heads up and has been heading up for quite some time now. It's happening around the 26th of October this year. Big Al is going to be back there as part of the media contingent, and I have to say I recommend this particular conference highly. Okay, I'm chatting right now with my buddy Marshall Barrel. Marshall is no stranger to our listeners. He is the co-portfolio manager, co-founder of the Encompass Fund. The Encompass Fund is a fund that has performed admirably, for lack of better terms. Admirably isn't a strong enough word. It's performed very, very well. Number one rated international fund, if I'm not mistaken, by Morningstar. What Marshall and I are chatting about right now is I've had a minority, underline the word minority, number of listeners who have said, you know, Al, we don't really want to hear about political issues. We don't want to hear about religious issues. We want to hear strictly about business issues. And then the majority of our listeners on our blog have come back and said, no, 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 that's not true. We want to hear about all of them because they all three are interrelated. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think they were interrelated. I have no desire to further my thoughts on either religion or politics, you know, other than perhaps convince my wife how wrong she is. But I have to say, I think there is a clear, close relationship between certainly political events around the world and investing. And I think the two biggest wild cards right now, if you take China out of it and just say, well, China's not a wild card, it's a given. We know what's going on there. We know they're going to become shortly the largest economy in the world. You know, take that out of it. Let's just talk about a couple of very volatile parts of the world, one being the Middle East and the other one being Mexico. And I think investors need to be aware of exactly what's going on in these two areas, because I think if they don't, they're selling themselves very, very short. Marsh, how do you guys deal with that in the, you know, with the Encompass Fund and your investments there?
Well, we certainly agree with you, Al. You have to pay attention to political developments and political aspects around the world for a lesser degree, religion. But religion does certainly come into play in the Middle East in years gone by. Fortunately, it's a lot quieter now. Religion came into play with regards to Northern Ireland and England, and so you have to pay attention, and we do at the Encompass Fund, which as you kindly point out is a number one rated international fund according to Morningstar for the past 1 year and the past 3 years. It's a 5-star rated Morningstar mutual fund. We pay attention. We think there can be an overemphasis to the day-to-day, moment-to-moment headlines or developments, whether it's political or, to a lesser degree, religious, currency issues and various other issues. but you need to be aware of them. You need to put them in the context of what's happening and how it will affect investments. With the Encompass Fund, we're long-term investors. We're not traders. And so we're trying to discern what will be the longer-term developments and how that's going to affect investments. And certainly the political issues and geopolitical issues. You mentioned Mexico, and it's true. And it's certainly applying in Europe with what's going on politically and vis-a-vis the currencies versus the dollar. That affects how people perceive various commodities, not the least of which is oil and gold, and it affects how people end up investing. As I say, we don't think you should focus on it from a day-to-day standpoint and making investment decisions, but taking it into the overall scheme of things is important, no question about it.
Would you agree with me that the Middle East is absolutely critical to two areas of investing, and one of those would be certainly the energy sector, and the other one I think would be precious metals? What are your thoughts, first of all, on the implications of the situation there on precious metals?
Well, I think it's a lesser effect on the precious metals, certainly on energy, oil. The Middle East is a major producer globally of oil, and what happens in the Middle East and to what degree there's unrest or uncertainty affects the energy markets, probably to a lesser degree in gold. Gold has adherents or detractors around the world. One of the things that certainly, whether it's the Middle East or other parts of the world, that's affecting the gold market, in our view, is the fact that the central banks have once again become net buyers of gold. And after two decades of being net sellers, the central banks and the IMF and the World Bank were net sellers of gold for 21 years. Last year, 2010, they became net buyers, and we think that will continue. And that's lends support for the gold price. And it's less of a situation with regards to the Middle East and the turmoil there as it is a desire to hold hard assets and to hold something other than U.S. dollars or the euro by the larger revenue-producing countries in the Middle East that are generating revenue from oil.
I don't disagree at all with what you're saying, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me when I say I think the situation in the Middle East is very, very critical. Let me rephrase that. When I say that it's a big input to the price of gold and silver, the reason I say that is, you know, historically, I mean, I've been a student of precious metals for over 30 years, and historically, there's no question about it, but economic and political turmoil on an international level have really had a major impact on the price of precious metals, probably more gold than silver. Thoughts?
Yes, I think it's certainly more on gold than silver. Silver, often referred to as the poor man's gold, and silver also has a major factor, or a major factor in the price of silver, is the industrial uses of silver, and which currently accounts for probably 50% of the demand for silver, and the other 50% being investment-wise. And gold has a very, very small percentage demand from an industrial standpoint, and it's primarily from an investment standpoint and a storehouse of value for gold. So it's a far less effect upon silver than it is upon gold. And again, it's gold, it has the impact because it's a storehouse of value, and in times of uncertainty and political unrest, people have historically gone to gold. And we're seeing it again, and we feel that we've seen it for the past number of years, and not only for the political uncertainty, but for other factors. The Encompass Fund, we think it's going to continue to be a driving force for the price of silver going up, and in turn, the price of the companies that are involved in discovering and exploring for and producing gold.
You know, it's interesting, but the advent of the internet, you know, people are just amazed at what the how the internet has changed thinking, how the internet has changed investing, how the internet has changed virtually every single thing in our lives. And you know, I would have to say that the one place, you know, and this is maybe something that is so obvious, it's not even worth repeating, but you know, the one place where the internet has really, really made a difference to me is if you want to find out information on virtually any subject, you use the internet and you can become very, very well informed in a relatively short period of time. And I find that to be absolutely amazing and absolutely wonderful. I mean, you know, in the past, if you wanted to, you know, become well versed on a subject, the energy industry, for example, or what have you, you know, you go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Americana, you'd spend a number of days in the library, etc. You can accomplish all of that now very, very quickly. So the internet certainly has helped Big Al's investing, and the internet, I have to say, has made doing this show much, much easier. Marshall Barrow, co-portfolio manager of the Encompass Fund, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, and I certainly agree with you about the internet, Al. It's not only the amount of information, it's the instantaneous ability to access it for developments around the world. It's just made a terrific change, and it's an ongoing change.
We're going to be right back.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.